Good morning. September 14th, 2025, from the office of the church clerk. To the eligible members of Berean, a vote will be held on September 28th, Sunday, for the office of pastor. Our candidate will be here next Sunday. Please prayerfully consider this privilege and responsibility before us. Thank you.
Heidi's making that announcement due to our constitution that says we must report it 2 weeks in advance so that we can vote on him on the 28th. Josh has an announcement for Kids for Club, Kids for Truth Club.
All right, tonight it's the campfire kickoff. There. That is a tee, and every clubber that shows up tonight, you get to kick it. We're gonna see how far you can come up and run and give it a boot. All right, tonight's the campfire kickoff. We're gonna huddle up. All the clubbers are gonna huddle up downstairs in the game room, and then we're gonna split out and go in motion. And after we open up in prayer, and the kids are gonna go to their game times. So we're just all gonna start there, and then they can split their leaders. We'll split them out into the outside, probably, and wherever they want to do their game time at. We have plenty of green grass outside. The parents, all parents of clubbers, we're going to meet upstairs in the chapel to just do a review, and we have updated our some of our safety protocols. We call it ARC, and we will share that with you this evening, what ARC is, and the expectations we have for our youth programs. All of our youth programs. And at halftime, we're going to head out towards the campfire. And after the service, anybody that wants to come over there, bring a lawn chair, you're welcome to come over and enjoy fellowship over at the campfire area. We will be doing our kicking over that way, not into the fire. I was reminded some college kids threw football in the fire at colleges. I don't know how that ended up, but anyways, we'll have hot dogs over there and snacks, probably chips and drinks, and then we'll have a coach's challenge, and then s'mores at the end, and then we will dismiss. We're hopefully around 7 o'clock-ish, so we will try to keep this evening a little shorter. Please pray for our club as we start out this year. And we will be having club next week. I know we have a potluck and everything, but since we're starting off, we wanted to maintain our club for those that aren't attending church. So just meet tonight downstairs, 6 o'clock, for our campfire kickoff.
Thank you. Any other announcements that need to be made? All right. We welcome you to Berean this morning, and those who are watching online, we welcome you as well. We're going to start our hymn service this morning by singing hymn number 11, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Tune my heart to sing thy praise. If you would stand with me as we sing hymn number 11. I hope that's why you came this morning, to praise the Lord. Count the blessings that we have, that we might encourage each other. Hope that's your prayer today. You may be seated. And I'm going to scripture reading and prayer.
Turn with me, if you would please, in your Bible to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. And I'm going to begin reading. My iPad's not cooperating here. I'm going to begin reading in the very first verse of Titus chapter 1. And we're going to be looking at the entire book of Titus this morning in church. Titus chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ for the sake of the faith of God's elect, that their knowledge of truth, which accords with godliness, in the hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began, and at the proper time manifested his word through the preaching which I have been entrusted by the command of God our Savior. To Titus, my true child in a common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our Father, we come before thee this morning with grateful hearts for who you are and what you have done. You called us to yourself. You sent Jesus Christ so long ago to die on a cross and pay the penalty of our sin. And if we would put our faith and trust in him, we would have eternal life. Lord, thank you for the many people in this audience this morning, maybe everybody, but certainly the many who have done that. Lord, if there's someone here today who has never trusted Christ, we pray that you would use your word to draw that one to you. May they not go from this place without seeking out someone who can help them understand the scripture. Meet with us this morning. Help us as we study your word. Give us minds and ears open and ready to receive what your word teaches us. And Lord, these are important days in the history of our church as we wait on you to show us our next pastor. We have a prospect coming in next week, Lord. We don't yet fully know your mind. We think he's a good prospect. Our pulpit committee has vetted him, but we have a chance as a congregation to meet him and greet him and judge for ourselves. We want a man that is your man for this place. We ask your blessing on that process and on today's service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hymn number 12, if you need the book, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall, give him the glory.
And crown him, Lord. that with yonder sacred rock we at his feet may fall. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all.
Amen. Hymn number 60, How Majestic is Thy Name.
When I consider the work of thy hand, the sun, moon, and star above, what is man that thou thinkest of him who is so unworthy of thy love? O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is thy name.
Memory verse this month is John 4:35. We'll say the reference, then the verse, and then the reference together. All right? The reference. John 4:35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. John 4:35. Before the choir sings their song, Stepping in the Light, I have two announcements. This Saturday morning is Ladies' Fellowship, and that will be here at the church at 9:30 on Saturday morning. And also, right after the morning service, I would like to meet with the men's ensemble. We'll sing next Sunday morning in the morning service, so we'll practice right after the morning service down here by the piano. So, men's ensemble. Listen as they sing Stepping in the Light. All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Hymn number 101, if you need the book. His mercy is more. We don't realize how much mercy he gives us. We deserve that awful pit of hell. But yet he's given us mercy and he has put mercy upon us. I can't help but mention what happened this week. It's brought to my attention. I need to be more bold in my witness for the Lord. I hope you've maybe have made that decision for yourself too with what's gone on this week and all the hate that's taken place. We need to spread the gospel. We need to spread the truth. And we need to stand up and take the stand. And his mercy is more. He'll give us that if we do it. So let's, if you would, stand with me as we sing all three of these verses. His mercy is more. We'll keep the children to their time of junior church till after the special music, all right?
His mercy is more.
Seated before Brother Straub, Jeff comes and preaches to us this morning. Mr. Carl Anderson to present special music.
I would invite you this morning to turn in your Bible to the book of Titus. To the book of Titus. I'm going to read and preach through the entire book of Titus. Now, this is not the same thing as doing it with Genesis. Titus can be read in less than 7 minutes. So, it's not even 5 minutes after 11. So, that will still give me 20 minutes to preach, unless I sneak in an extra 5 minutes. But before we begin this morning, we're going to begin reading at verse 5. Janine has kindly prepared slides for us in case you don't have a scripture. I would like to ask the congregation a favor. And I'm going to ask with Lauren Douglas first. If this were a Vikings football game, these seats down at the front would all be filled. Can we, and I know we're Baptists, and Baptists don't like to change, but can we consider moving up? Dave, I need you and Gail to move up next week. At least one row. Now, these rows are empty here, and don't you miss the people that used to fill them? Our pastor, his beloved wife, their grandkids. Felicia, who's away at college now. Caleb. We'll save those seats for our candidate and his family. But the rest of us, Lauren, can I ask you to move up a row? No, not now, not now. But next week. If we can do that, then our brother won't preach to empty seats quite as much. And believe me, you might find that these seats are really nice seats. They're every bit as comfortable as the seats in the back. But you have a better view. Now, I understand why some of you are sitting far back, because this preacher has a loud voice. Okay, I can't do anything about that. All right, now, like I said, I've divided the book of Titus up into sections. And my goal this morning is to prepare us as a congregation for next week. What are we looking for? And how will we know if we have it? I think this is an important time in the life of our church. We have come through a season of peace that has lasted 28 years. Now, I know there may have been difficulties in the past. I don't know about them, but I understand. But as I understand it, during Carrie's long ministry, this congregation has had peace. That doesn't just happen. It happens because we, the congregation, support the pastor and his work. And in order for us to do that, we have to have the confidence that we have God's man in our pulpit. Now, we're not going to be able to vet this brother next week entirely. There are going to be things about him we just don't know. But our pulpit committee has asked pertinent questions. I'm going to presume, rightly so, because I called Mike Bernard and asked him this, that our pulpit committee would not have put forth this brother. I don't know him at all. Al Lundy knew him when he was a kid. Al, don't judge him by what he did as a kid. Kids are kids are kids are kids. But you know what I'm saying? Some of you may actually know this man. I know his father only barely. But this is not about what he did when he was a kid. or what his father does. It's about the man and his family. And so let's walk through the book of Titus. Begin reading in verse number 5, if you will, please. Okay, if I can get my tablet to change. This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. Now, can I stop here for just a moment? This is something that was unique to the apostolic era. Not even Carey appointed our next pastor. This is not, we don't have any living apostles. And so we don't have anyone to appoint a pastor for us. It might be easier if we did, but we don't. Now, the closest thing to what's going on that exists in our day is Carey's son, David Flink. As a missionary, David goes into uncharted territory and wins people to Christ and then is responsible for training a man or men to take over the work. But David's not going to be around for years, and the churches that he started are not going to call back and say, David, we need another pastor. So it's up to the churches to discern their own future pastors. And that's where we come to today. In the process of Paul telling Titus what to do, he lays out for us things that we should look for and instructions as to what this man should be willing to do among us. Now, I know that much of the first 10 verses here, Mike Menard has already covered a few weeks ago when he preached on 1 Timothy chapter 3. So I'll only make some comments about this. In fact, all I have time to do through much of the text is to make some comments. There are going to be sections of the text that I'm going to virtually ignore. Not because they're not important. Paul was talking to Titus, who was dealing with a situation in Crete, and there were things that were unique to the Cretan situation. They're not issues with us. And so while they're inspired scripture and they're relevant for study, I don't need to discuss them here because my goal is not to give a detailed exposition of Titus. We'd be here till tonight. My goal is to survey the book of Titus. Verse number 6. If anyone is above reproach, that's the most important word in this section. The husband of one wife and his children are believers, not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination. For an overseer, as God's steward, must be above reproach. There's that word again. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or a drunkard or violent, or greedy for gain. But hospitable. A lover of good. Self-controlled. Upright. Holy. And disciplined. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. Now, as I said, our brother has already walked us through these requirements in some detail, so it's not my burden to do that this morning. It would take a considerably longer period of time for me to do that than we have, but let me make a few comments about this, these words. One of the first things that we need to consider about our future pastor is that he is above reproach. Now, this is not perfection. Not even our former beloved pastor attained to perfection. But he was above reproach. In our final service with him, and I gave a testimony, my comments were that Cary is a man without guile. He was above reproach. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for a man that's above reproach. We're looking for a man whose marriage is well ordered. He needs to be a one-woman man. Now, Mike took us through what that means. But essentially, he's devoted to one woman. He doesn't have a girlfriend. He doesn't look at pornography. He hasn't been divorced. He's a one-woman man. Now, I can't determine that next week, so I really hope our pulpit committee did. I hope they talked to some people to make sure that this guy didn't have any skeletons in the closet. I'm going to assume, because we're going to hear from him, that they have and that they did their due diligence. This man's family needs to be perfect to sit in church and not ever say a word. No. They need to be under control. They need to be disciplined. They don't need to be rebellious or unruly. Now, his kids are a little bit older, so I don't think we're going to see 4-year-olds running around the church. In fact, I understand the daughters are going to sing for us next week. I think, now, folks, we're not going to vote on this man because he's got nice kids. This is not a beauty contest. But one of the things we want is a man with a well-ordered family, because he's a model to us. Someday, Felicia and Caleb are going to, now when I say they're going to get married, I don't necessarily mean to each other. Someday they're going to get married and have kids of their own. And we want them to have a pastor who sets a good example. Character matters in the life of our next pastor. Character matters. The last few verses here in chapter 1 discuss some of what was going on with the Cretans, and I won't go through that because it's not directed toward our purpose. But if you will notice with me what Paul says at the end of the chapter here, we want somebody who's sound in doctrine. It's interesting if you go through the pastoral epistles and you see everywhere that Paul talks about sound doctrine. Now, we're going to have an opportunity next week to ask some questions. I think Mike has asked us to prepare those questions and turn them into him. And some of the questions you may want to know is, well, what do you believe about this and what do you believe about that? And those are fair questions. Those are fair questions for us as a church to ask a potential future pastor. Now, remember, he might say, I haven't thought about that. Cary was 72 when he retired. So if you ask him a question, he's probably thought about it. But our brother is 42, something like that, in his early 40s. And he may not have thought about every quirky thing that we might ask him. And saying to us next week, I don't know, is okay. It's okay. He just needs time. And beloved, we're going to have to give him time. Excuse my saying this, we don't want another man 72. He would have no shelf life. You know, you buy a bottle of milk and you look and see what the shelf life is. You don't buy a bottle of milk that's expired yesterday. You want something that will last. Our brother, our beloved brother, lasted 28 years here. Now, Lauren, I don't know about you, but I don't plan to be here in 28 years. And many of you won't. But some of you might. And as we look at this brother, we want to try to find a guy who's got 28 good years in him, or something like that. 20, 25. We don't want a guy who's good for the next 2 years. We want to try to find a guy with some shelf life. Just like Berean did when they called Carrie Flink. I think it was 1997. Moving to chapter 2. But as for you, teach what accords to sound doctrine. There it is again. There it is again. Sound doctrine. The importance of sound doctrine. Whatever else this guy does, he needs to teach sound doctrine. That's way more important than how he combs his hair. Sound doctrine. Paul says, what accords with sound doctrine. Now, listen to the categories that our pastor has to deal with. Older men. Al, this is where I'm talking to you. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in the faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Our brother is going to be dealing with older men. And he has to know how to exhort them and pastor them. And what kinds of things are important. Maggie? Where did Maggie go? She snuck out. Notice the next statement. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior. Not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good and so train the younger women. Felicia's not here. She's in college, so I won't dwell on the younger women. But you understand that older women have a responsibility to help train the next generation of women to be godly examples. I'm very grateful for the wife the Lord gave me, who has had a profound influence on younger women. Dale, you have to tell Maggie she's got big shoes to fill. And I'm saying this as her brother in Christ. And I use Maggie as an example because I think she models this already. I think Maggie models this already. I appreciate so much her praying last week. And she models this already. And others of you do too. You know, I wanted to be careful about calling anybody out by name, lest they think I'm preaching at them. I'm preaching at all of us. If you think I'm preaching at you, I am. If your phone rings, answer it. younger, older women are to teach younger men. And then notice what Paul says about younger men. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Boy, now that's something that young men need, self-control. That kind of says it all, doesn't it? Al, you got a job to do, buddy. Dale, Lauren, Mike, teaching younger men to be self-controlled. And our pastor will exhort us and help us to do that. We can't expect him to do all the work of the ministry. So he's going to teach us, older men, older women, how to mentor younger women and younger men. Now, I know there are some interesting things in this text that you really say, well, he didn't talk about this. I'm sorry, I can't. I don't have time. I'm trying to hit the highlights of what we're doing. And then Paul gives in the last section some important qualifications. Show yourself, in verse 7, show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works. In your teaching, show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned. There's a big burden on the shoulders of our next pastor. The last thing we want is a guy who will preach a sermon and then a whole bunch of people say, where did you get that from the Bible? True story. When I was working on my PhD, my kids were younger and we visited a church. And at the end of the service, my son Benjamin said, and I quote, Dad, we didn't need a Bible today, did we? Part of what we're looking at next week is whether or not we need our Bible when he preaches to us. We want somebody who will teach sound words. And then we come to an interesting section, which I'm just going to read and pass over. Bondservants are to be submissive to their masters and everything. And they will be well pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith so that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of our Savior. I understand that this is a difficult passage. In Paul's day, maybe 30 to 40% of the ancient world were slaves. It's just the way it was. Many of them became Christians. If Paul had started a free the slaves movement, you can imagine what it would have done to Christianity. But you know what? We can find this out from the book of Philemon. When a man that is our slave becomes a Christian, he becomes first our brother. And if he is our brother, we're going to treat him with dignity and respect. Then the last few verses here. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. That's what our preaching needs to be. Waiting for our blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, who are zealous for good works. And then Paul ends this section by saying, declare these things. Doesn't mean get up there and just be a wimp about it. It means Preach it, brother. Declare these things. Exhort and rebuke. Now, a pastor normally exhorts. Dave, I really encourage you to move up next week. That's just an exhortation. Dave, you didn't move up like I asked. That's a rebuke. Our brother may need to rebuke some of us for our misdeeds. And we need to let him know. He's not going to rebuke Dave for not moving up. I will. But brethren, our pastor, soon to be, our future, has a big burden. And then the last chapter gives their pastor's responsibility. Our next pastor, how he should live among those who are outside the church and how we should relate to those inside the church. I'm going to read the final few verses. The final few verses are Paul's conclusion, but I'm not going to make any comments on them. Verse 1, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities. Oh, man, you got to be kidding me. I don't like fill in the blank. Doesn't say like them. It says to be submissive to them. To be obedient. To be ready for every good work. To speak evil of no one. Let me tell you what he said. That dirty lowlife. To avoid quarreling. Now, if you want to see quarreling, just watch the kids. Not our kids in the church. We have perfect kids and they never quarrel. And if you believe that, I got a bridge for sale. Not to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, to show perfect courtesy toward all people. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hatred by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. And all God's people said, Hallelujah. He saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So that being justified by grace, we might have become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things. I hope this man has a backbone, because he may need to come alongside of us and insist on some things. Insist. Insist. So that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good work. Boy, there's an awful lot of conversation in here about good works. To insist on these things. He doesn't have an easy job ahead of him, brethren. He does not have an easy job ahead of him. But foolish, avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels about the law. Now, we're not former Jews who've become saved, so we're not going to be quarreling about the law, but we might be quarreling about other things. And it's our pastor's job to insist that we stop and behave right in the house of God. For they are unprofitable and worthless. For as for a person who does this stirs up division. Folks, we need harmony and unity in our assembly for the next 28 years. I'm going to read at this time Psalm 133. Behold, how good it is, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Haven't we enjoyed unity here in the church over the last 28 years? I don't know who's been member here the longest. Some of you have been here maybe even since before Carrie came. I called to make sure this was true. And because I didn't want to say anything this morning that wasn't true. And so I talked to Steve Douglas this morning. And Steve tells me it's true, so if I'm wrong, blame Steve. But as I understand it, the church has been at peace for Carrie's ministry, and that's what we want. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for a season of peace. And then Paul finishes his admonition. When I send Artemis and Tychicus to you, do your best to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. Do your best to speed Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their way. See that they lack nothing. And let our people learn to devote themselves to good works, so as to help cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful. All who are with me send greetings to you. Greet those who love us in the truth. Grace be with you all. This is what we're looking for next week. Can I ask you? Can I suggest to you? Can I exhort you? I'm not going to rebuke you, but can I exhort you to read through the book of Titus several times this week? Meditate on what Paul is telling Titus so that we can be prepared to receive our candidate. Father, as we bring this service to a close, we thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus. We pray that you would give us wisdom in this process of calling our next pastor. We plead with you to send us the right man. Maybe there's someone here without Christ, Lord. May today be the day that they seek someone out and decide to be born again. Maybe someone here is a Christian and they've not been living right. May they seek someone out and make things right. Lord, we await your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Steve.
Thank you, Jeff. I've chosen, give of your best to the master. We need to examine our lives, see what he wants for us and what he can do through us. If you would stand with me, 547, if you need the book, give of your best to the master.
The sword of salvation. cross has set the example. His life for others he gave. Give him your loyal devotion. Give him the best that you have. Give of your best to the Master. Not worthy his blood.
Father, thank you for the message this morning that we heard, how we need to even prepare ourselves for what takes place next week. Lord, prepare the candidate's heart as well. Lord, might we receive them with arms that are open wide to, let this possibly be our next pastor. Lord, thank you for the challenge from the song that we need to give you our best and that we can be used for what you would have in our lives. Thank you for the opportunity to serve. Help us to be bold in what we do. Lord, take opportunities. Guide us as we go our ways now. Bring us back again tonight for preaching of the word. And we're grateful for your love and the life that you give us to live. We pray this in thy name. Amen.